Someone recently asked me if I consider porn addiction and paying for webcam girls to be infidelity or not. And my honest answer is that it can be, and it often is, especially when we're talking about paying for webcam girls, private sexual interaction, personalized sexual attention, secrecy, deleted messages, spending money behind your partner's back, or creating a sexual relationship with another person online. At that point, we're not just talking about someone seeing explicit content on the internet. We're talking about sexual energy, attention, secrecy, money, and intimacy outside the relationship, which are all classic elements of cheating. I feel like that's a pretty cut and dry case. So, for a lot of people, for a lot of situations, yes, that is absolutely betrayal. But I also want to use this as an opportunity to say, let's be careful, because this topic can get oversimplified very quickly. Some people want a black and white answer. Porn is always cheating, or porn is never cheating. And I don't think either answer is mature enough for the reality of relationships. The deeper question is not just was porn involved? The deeper questions are what agreement did the couple have? Was there secrecy? Was there deception? Was there emotional or sexual energy being taken out of the relationship? Was money being spent in a way the partner would feel violated by? Was one partner repeatedly choosing porn or cam girls over intimacy with their spouse? And did the other partner have to question their reality because of it? That is where this starts to move into betrayal territory. The research on pornography and relationships is a lot more complicated than most people probably would be willing to guess. There is a lot of research showing that pornography use can be connected to lower relationship satisfaction, lower sexual satisfaction, secrecy, shame, conflict, and disconnection. That's true. But there's also research showing that the impact is not the same in every relationship. One study led by someone named Floyd looked at moral disapproval of pornography, sexual shame and sexual satisfaction, and couple satisfaction. And their findings suggested that pornography use was especially damaging when the person using it morally disapproved of it. In other words, when someone thinks this is wrong but does it anyway, that internal conflict creates sexual shame, and that shame spills into the relationship. It's the discontent and the dissatisfaction they feel within themselves that then bleeds into the dissatisfaction with the relationship. Sometimes the issue isn't really the porn itself, it's the fact that there's shame, secrecy, hiding, and compulsivity to it, and the moral conflict around the whole thing. One study found that couples who viewed pornography together didn't have any negative side effects from watching porn. Whereas if there's just one person doing it, or if it's like an extreme mismatch for how much they're doing it, it can be a lot more complicated and more potentially damaging. So it's not as simple as saying porn always destroys relationships, or that porn is always infidelity. It's also not honest to say that porn is harmless and anyone who is hurt by it is just being insecure. Both of those extremes are missing the point. The way I think about infidelity is not really about physical contact or not. It's about the violation of trust, the violation of agreed upon exclusivity, and just any other agreements that hold the relationship together. So, for example, just the idea of, we don't flirt with other people, that's often assumed, if not explicitly stated. And so, any type of porn watching that might involve directly messaging the person involved would be breaking that boundary. Or we don't have sexual conversations with other people. And sometimes it is implicit. Your partner may have never said, please don't pay a woman online to perform sexually for you, because they assumed that it was obvious. So if your response to that is, well, you never specifically told me I couldn't, that can feel manipulative and just plain dumb. Healthy relationships are not built on technical loopholes. They're built on good faith. Now, sometimes these conversations do need to take place because it actually isn't fully clear where you each land on some of these moral questions. And having an alignment on the morality of it is important. And having a context where you can actually discuss it openly, where you're genuinely curious, is a necessary condition of that. If you're going into it with like this purity test mindset of, I'm going to see whether he or she has a good mindset or a sinful mindset, like, don't even bother having the conversation at that point. And another thing I want to say is, I do find it somewhat interesting, the question being, does this count as cheating? And I get why people ask that, because if you can prove something counts as cheating, then maybe you feel like this is an important issue. maybe you feel like then you're allowed to set a firm boundary or you're allowed to leave over it. But you don't need to prove that something was infidelity for it to be a serious issue for you. If it's a serious issue for you, it's a serious issue. It doesn't have to be classified one way or another. If it's a boundary that you want to have, then have it, regardless of whether I or someone else counts it one way or another. So instead of asking, does this technically count as infidelity? Just ask, like, did this violate trust? Did it make me feel sexually unsafe? Was I lied to? Is my partner willing to understand why this hurt me, or are they only trying to escape accountability? At the same time, I do think it is worth considering, am I being too prudish on my views of sexuality? Have I been overreacting to what this has to mean? Especially in light of the evidence that there have been multiple studies done, like I said, that show it does not have to be a problem. Also, another point, I think we need to be careful with the term addiction. Some people will use the phrase porn addiction very casually to say, my partner watches porn and I don't like it. That is very different than a real compulsive pattern where someone feels unable to stop, escalates over time, hides the behavior, experiences consequences, and continues anyway. Those are very different situations. At that point, you're dealing with patterns of avoidance, secrecy, dysregulation, and addiction-like behavior. And that's a huge difference, especially in the way that it impacts you. And I want to reiterate this. What the research specifically shows is that when a person's porn use conflicts with their beliefs and values, that mismatch can create moral struggle and shame, which can then affect the relationship. So this does not mean that values are the problem. It doesn't mean to just say, okay, just become okay with porn and everything will be fine. That's not the message. The message is that shame, secrecy, and conflict within oneself often make the damage worse. Because when someone is ashamed, they're more likely to hide. And when they hide, the partner senses something is off. And when the partner asks questions, the ashamed person may deny, minimize, or attack. Then the issue becomes bigger because it's not just about that behavior. Now it's also about gaslighting. Now there is betrayal for sure on top of it. Now one partner is starting to lose trust in their own perception of reality because of how much denial is happening. Like, just because someone in a different situation would not be hurt by the same behavior in their relationship, that does not automatically invalidate your experience and yours, both based on the values and based on everything that has happened since the initial disagreement came to light. And so what if it is a lot lighter usage than what I've described so far, where it might be addictive or where it might be interacting with someone, paying for it, secrecy behind your back? What if it's just occasional? There weren't lies, but it happened. In those cases, it may still hurt. And it might still need a serious conversation. It might still reveal a mismatch in values. But I would be personally slower to put it in the exact same category as a long-term affair or even an emotional affair or repeated sexual deception. Not everything that is sexually uncomfortable is the same thing as betrayal. Because if we can just throw the word betrayal onto anything, I feel like the word loses its weight and its meaning. So let me try to make this a bit clearer. Here are 5 questions that you can ask yourself that might bring some clarity to this all. First, you need to ask yourself, was there an agreement? If you had a clear agreement that porn or specific types of porn or whatever were off limits, then violating that is a form of betrayal. Second, was there secrecy or deception? Because hiding something can be a form of betrayal. Third, I would invite you to ask if there was interaction. You know, paying a specific person, chatting, requesting things, forming some type of sexual connection, these progressively get closer and closer to the category of betrayal. Fourth, was there harm to the relationship? It's interesting. Another study found that when you look at gay couples, lesbian couples, and heterosexual couples, for gay and lesbian couples, they often did not experience anything like watching porn and then being less physically active with their partner. And with heterosexual couples, if a woman watched porn, she was not any less likely to want to be active with her partner. But within heterosexual couples, if a man watched porn, there was a little bit more tendency for him to not want to be physically active with her. And so that is another question you can ask. Was there harm to the relationship? Was intimacy declining as a result? That is a real form of betrayal if someone is using that as a replacement for you. And then fifth, how did they respond when confronted? Did they take responsibility, or did they minimize, blame, mock, gaslight, or make you feel crazy? And I think that question probably matters more than anything else. How you handle the disagreement is often more important than the disagreement itself. But again, healing, both individually and as a couple, will not come from arguing over labels. It will come when both people are willing to tell the truth about what happened, what it meant, what it cost, and what would have to change for safety to exist again.